Episode 284 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons, presented to you by DRF Sports. Remember, guys, more to come on them as we move into the new year. But until then, we talk about a couple decisions made by some guys in the Hawkeye defensive backfield that are going to shift some things around, potentially, next year. We're going to see how all that looks. We're going to talk it through. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 284 of the podcast. Boys and girls, I may have accidentally got into some vitamins today during the Niners game. They were down 17-0. Thought that might do something to change the trajectory of the time-space continuum. And got into some vitamins. Niners turned it around, won an amazing game, 27-24 in overtime. And Kluver made us stay up way past my bedtime to record this podcast. So this is not my fault. I am not held liable for any of the words that come out of my mouth on episode 284. Kluver, take it from here.
Drake's on the vitamins. Take your vitamin C, by the way, everybody. It's a good vitamin. Vitamin D is good too, especially if you live in the northern states. Can't get out in the sun right now. I'm tired as shit. I just spent all day at a, and I'm just serving the softball up to Drake and Kevin, but I just spent all day at a club volleyball tournament, that my wife now coaches club volleyball. That's neither here nor there. I did end up getting to talk to Coach LeVar Woods for a half hour because his daughter plays club volleyball.
Mega jealous.
So pretty happy.
Oh, wow. That's worth the trip. That's worth the price of admission right there.
It was worth it. And God, I was so excited to see him. And it's so different to talk to coaches outside of the season, outside of when they're on the clock, you know? Like I had to end the conversation. Otherwise, we would have stood there and talked for 2 hours. I think he would have missed his daughter's next game. Like, I was so happy to talk to this guy, and I got the inside scoop on all the special team stuff that happened this year. The going back to the missed snap and missed kick at Iowa State, the long snapping situation, and punting situation, the kicking situation. Oh my goodness, boys and girls, we'll release some of that info. I don't know. It may come out here or there. I'm not just gonna drop the bomb.
Stop being a snitch, bro.
I it's not like I'm gonna go word for word on the conversation, but it gives me context at least for conversations when they come up. So super happy to see him, and I just wish I could see them more often. 284, we have some things to talk about. It's not going to be a super long episode. We obviously don't have a guest on today, although we do have Kevin back, which is cool.
Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
Great to see Kevin back out there. Kevin's on the telephone, at least for now, maybe for the entire episode, because of from our text conversation, it's either porn or he got blacked out last night. That's all I read on the text. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Now, I had my power go out for about 10 seconds last night, and for some reason now my computer doesn't turn on, so I really hope it didn't get fried during a little power surge or something.
Yeah, that would be tough. That would be tough.
That would be about a bitch, Kev. That would be a bad beat.
Yeah, it would be a bad beat. There's a lot of work on that computer.
Oh yeah. No. Oh, shit, I forgot. Drake, he has a real job.
That's a real job. That's real job props.
He's got documents on the computer. Oh, no. Kev, what's your weekend look like, man? How's the last couple of days been? Get a little time off?
It was good, man. Yeah, I got to spend some time with the girlfriend and kind of relax and watch some football today. It was a good day, man.
Did you do any jiu-jitsu?
No, I usually only do jiu-jitsu on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Pussy.
He hasn't upgraded to that 8 days a week yet like you.
No, I'm just kidding. The fact that he's doing it 2 days a week with a real job is fantastic. That makes me happy. Just to know that he's in the game. Austin Kelly, shout out Austin Kelly, in the game.
Shout out.
Yeah, I saw he goes to the same gym I go to, yeah.
Not only did I see LeVar, but the other day in Costco, just the West Des Moines Costco, I see Brady Reef walking down the aisle. I was like, Reef, what are you doing? He's like, he's got like, he had like 12 bananas in his cart and a pair of jeans.
He was an interesting character, dude. He was an interesting dude.
Simple guy. Just like, doesn't need a whole lot to, I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I live in the middle of Des Moines now. Like, all right, cool. I gotta go, but I'll see you later. And he's down to like 225. So it's that lineman weight loss. They look like totally different people. Speaking of, we still need to get the GOAT Yanda on the podcast. We got to, I don't have his number. I don't think he has social medias, but we got to find a way to get him to respond to us and get him to come on the show, because I think people want to hear from Marshall.
Before we get into it, I think we need to give another quick shout out to our new sponsor for the new year, DRF Sports. Again, every bettor's dream. Exclusive data, betting trends, analytics, expert advice, all in one easy to use place. And they also have a free to play predictor app called DRF Cash Grab. Apple Store. Oh my God. I'll just do this and just bring attention to them because it's still a good ad. Apple App Store or Google Play Store, 100% free. Just download, start predicting, and win some money. And the sports book is coming. DRF Sports. Bet smarter. All right.
Here's the topic of tonight. Three major announcements. By the way, did you guys know that we are breaking news? We're breaking news now. Because technically, the shot podcast was before he announced on Twitter that he was officially done. I didn't even think about it. Drake, you just texted him and were like, hey, come on the podcast. I just thought that
we're just bros. It was just bros coming on the podcast, hanging out, being bros.
I just thought that he was done. I didn't even with this COVID year and everyone that's got a red shirt or didn't red shirt. I don't even remember who has what left anymore. And then I had several people reach out and be like, so since you had shot on the podcast, does that mean he's done? And I was like, oh shit. I don't even know. He said he was done on the show. So Shot released, and this was actually after the Riley Moss stuff. We're going to talk about that in a second. I'm glad that Kevin's here to talk about that because the Iowa defense, you could say they got another big recruit if you want to consider him that. I mean, that's like getting a four.
That's a six-star recruit.
Like a four or five-star recruit right there in Riley Moss.
That's a full five-star, dude. That's the defensive player of the year in the Big Ten.
Right, yeah.
Don't disrespect him by calling a four or five star recruit. That's just wrong.
I just want to keep this chip on his shoulder, you know. Shot's gonna go chase the league. What do we see? A guy like Shooter, you know, it's not like he had a crazy Outland Trophy career at Iowa, but put that guy in an NFL camp, might be able to grind himself out a spot now. You never know.
Some grit.
Never know. Give a hawk an opportunity. It's like if you give a mouse a cookie, you don't know what's going to happen. If you give Drake a cookie right now, it would be gone. I know that.
I'd love a cookie right now.
Yeah. So Shot's going to go chase the league, go 6'4", take that greasy hair and go make some cash, buddy. And that leaves us with two. And these are really the topics of conversation. Riley Moss. Now, I had intel on this the day before. And I didn't say anything because I like to keep my integrity and not drop anything. But evidently, after the bowl game, things got pretty emotional with a couple of the guys in the locker room. And it was like, holy shit. Like we might have some decisions being heavily weighed upon with the opportunity to come back and the emotions of, though this could be my last game, I don't know. Riley Moss has decided to come back for, well, I think it's his fifth year.
Hey, he was like Jordan Belfort at the top of the room. I'm fucking leaving.
I'm not fucking leaving. That's Riley Moss. Somebody, as you listen to this podcast on Monday morning, everybody tweet that gif at me and tag Riley Moss. We'll just get a little train going. He said, through the highs and lows, I would never trade this team for anything. The memories we made will stick together or stick with me forever on and off the field. Season did not finish the way we wanted, but to have won 10 games and making it to the Big Ten Championship is very special. Always dreamed of being a Hawkeye, yada, yada. I've decided to stay and continue being a Hawkeye for the 2022 season. I have more goals and I would like to achieve, and this team has more goals to achieve as well. This has been the hardest decision I've ever had to make. Fuck, I imagine so. And I am confident that I have made the right one. Wow. Now, this was before Dane Belton announced. I've got his announcement right next to this. But now that we know Dane is out of the picture, the Riley Moss coming back is even bigger, I would think. Isn't that right?
Huge. It's huge. Kev Daddy, how you feeling?
Yeah, Kev, you give me your thoughts on, from the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like even if Riley was going, that we pretty good at corner going in next year, regardless, with Jamari Harris and Terry Roberts. But yeah, this is a huge keep for us, because that maybe allows one of those guys to slide in that cash position that Dane was playing this past few years.
Right.
So it's always good to have depth, and it's good to have senior leadership in that room as well, which is looking like Riley's going to be the guy to lead that room next year.
Well, that's the big thing, right? Like we always talk about, it's great to have a talent on the field, and clearly Riley is that. I mean, I don't know how much he gets thrown to. I mean, it's sort of like a Desmond King situation. When Desmond had that crazy year and then no one threw at him, like, just, you know, and Riley's going to help us a lot defensively, but what he does to continue the culture inside that room, it's potentially a lot more. And as you mentioned, Kevin, you know, this is our deepest position, I think, right? Like we have, especially with Wampa coming in, we were going to be okay here. We were going to be just fine.
Yeah, it's so elite that's we're just reloading Phil with more amazing athletes.
We damn near have too much because there's a few young guys. Sebastian,
you can never have too much. You can never have too much.
I know.
Never wish that upon us, Kluver.
I'm just saying, like, you know, in today's day and age, the topic comes up, like some of these young guys could probably play elsewhere. And if they're.
Yeah. Or they could be part of one of the best Iowa secondaries of all time.
And they know that, but I'm just saying not everybody's always thinking like that. Dane comes out yesterday, and I've said on this podcast multiple times.
Sad about it.
Sad. Super sad. Number four was my guy.
Wanted him to, you know, number four to play his fourth year. Feel like it could have been a little poetic.
A little bit.
That's what happened, dude. This is the problem. And I texted you guys in the group. Phil's too good at his job. He just produces too much talent too quickly, and they give up years of eligibility. Gino did it. Amani did it. Dane did it. Josh did it.
I know. I what do you tell him though? What do you tell him? Like,
hey, stop getting so damn good so fast.
Don't slow down. Don't be as good, dude. Hey, don't tackle that guy. Stop it.
You know,
if Dane would have told me this, I would have been like, hey, man, like, you know, there's still like, you weren't perfect. You could come back next year and be perfect, man. Like, you know, like Wandell got behind you on that one play. Like we could still work on a few things, right? Like, is there anything that could keep you home? A washed up walk on sponsorship, anything.
No, we can't pay him near enough.
No, we don't even have
that kid's freaky. He's built freaky. He's a different breed.
What do you think about Dane Belton at the next level, Kevin?
I think he's going to do well. Could he have benefited from another year in college? Sure, but he's shown all the skills he needed to succeed at the next level. I think what's going to be a big selling point for him is he's an extremely versatile player. Mm. You can play him in the slot. You can play him at safety. You know, a lot of these teams have these kind of hybrid guys that play a lot of roles in the defense, and that's something that Dane can do. He's just a great athlete that can do a lot of different things for you. So, I mean, that makes, as Coach Walsh would say, it's increase your value, and he's got plenty of ways to increase his value for a lot of teams out there. So I'm sure he'll find a team that will fall in love with him, and we'll see him go in the mid rounds probably.
That's why we loved him so much. The black and gold is he really could, like, if we needed him to, he could play linebacker, like in a way. He played the cash great, played safety.
Got to get in the playbook heavy though, because it's really about how well you can read an offense. And when it comes to playing safety in the NFL, like, there's been less than stellar athletes. Like, Daniel Sorensen's made a living in the NFL playing safety. Like, you don't have to be the best athlete in the world. And I mean, Dane's got everything it takes, but as long as he gets in the playbook heavy, starts watching a lot of film, learn how to study these quarterbacks, because quarterbacks in the NFL are like coaches on the field. It's a lot different than playing college kids.
Yeah. And it's a whole new level. I think Dane will go be, you know, just like Amani or just like Gino. You know, Amani's playing great. Had a pick.
Amani's a stud.
He's starting for the Titans, who just locked up the first seed. And
yeah,
Gino home just Gino
in
just
Nashville.
yeah, insane. Gino just picked.
Nashville.
I know you do. Gino just picked off Big Ben today in his final regular season game.
How sick is that they just got somehow Pittsburgh just got in?
How sick are the Colts that they let the Jaguars beat them and take them out of the playoffs?
Did you watch McAfee's videos?
Yes, McAfee's a gem. And how pissed is Jonathan Taylor that he's the best running back in the NFL and he won't be able to do it in the playoffs?
Seven Pro Bowlers and they miss the playoffs because they lose to a team that's vying for the number one overall pick.
That refuses to start CJ over fucking Trevor Lawrence. Unbelievable. Speaking of, you know, Dane and safety / linebacker types, that cockroach that just won't go away, Jake Gervais. He was brought up today.
Hanging
active
around.
Roster, hanging baby. Around.
Motherfucker won't die.
He won't die, and that's a great thing because I think he's earning a pension here at some point.
It's got to be close. I mean, sheesh. How? What? Well, I don't know though, because I think you need three games for
it needs to be it's active roster games that count towards your pension. So,
but
yeah, your time on the practice squad doesn't help. But
right.
It's like 3 years with X amount of games per year is to get fully vested or something like that.
He's trying, man. And I'll be honest, when I see Gervais in a Rams jersey, first of all, I don't have a strong NFL team. I don't cheer for anybody. I mostly cheer for Hawks and guys I like watching play football that are great. But I like the Rams. And when I see him in a Rams jersey, man, like, I just know that I stood next to him in the same jersey. We wore that same jersey and now he is in the league and I am envious of Jake Gervais, man. I am envious. I am jealous. I want to grab him by his blonde hair and just fucking just, I'd beat his ass in poker one more time and take his money on Arbury Drive. But you know, that's neither here nor there. I'm happy for the kid, dude. Every time he gets seeing him out on the field, kid's a stud. He did it. He fucking did it. He did it way more than we did it. And yeah, Dane Belton.
Cooter got some envy, huh, Kev?
That's real. That's real shit.
He ain't the only one.
That's real shit right there, man. I have no, you know, I would say we sit in these chairs being former Hawkeyes, and there's a lot of people that listen to this show that probably have those same sort of, not in a malicious or like bad intentioned way, like, or unhealthy way of jealousy towards us or envy that we got to wear the black and gold. And that's definitely something that I think about all the time and I cherish. And then I can relate because I in the same way look at some of the teammates that we had and they run around on Sundays. Or you know, Drake, I know you've felt this way about several other fullbacks in the league who you doesn't matter what I think or what Coach Ferentz thought or what the NFL teams thought. Like Drake Kulik believes that he was better than some other fullbacks that play in the NFL. I believe that I'm. Or I was at one point better than other long snappers in the NFL, but hey, doesn't matter. It's whoever gets the opportunity, and there's envy that gets created out of that. And so I just got to give the kid a shout out. Dane Belton. I really just, you know, every day that goes by without the announcement, it's sort of like the Linderbaum thing right now. Cause Lindy hasn't announced yet. And when Riley
hanging around,
when Riley announced, Lindy put the eyes emoji as a response to Riley's. And I've been hearing whispers that Lindy got emotional a little bit too. And he was thinking about maybe coming back for one more. Like, and so with Dane, it was the same thing. It was like, hey, maybe if just like no one says anything, Dane will come back and we'll just have everybody. Right. I really thought it was.
Just nobody say anything and maybe he'll forget.
Right. Yeah. Maybe he'll forget that the NFL is an opportunity there waiting for him. Right. I thought Dane was a 50-50. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe this was planned long before. I really do think, you know, like Kevin said, he'll probably find himself in a middle round. Who knows? I don't think anybody thought CJ Beathard was going to go in the third round. And he found himself up on the Niners draft board. Dane could be the same way. Who knows? Maybe a team falls in love with him. Maybe he goes to the combine and he balls out. Maybe he has an insane pro day and he works himself into a second or third round pick. He's more than likely probably a fourth or a fifth. I thought with one more year, he would really have a chance to be like a top safety taken in the draft. Like he had that potential and there's no faulting him for the decision because he's going to get paid regardless. And he's just going to go and do it one year earlier and just grind it out. Right. That initial money doesn't mean any, that initial money only means something if you think that you're not going to make it. Cause otherwise you go earn yourself a contract. You go play yourself into a nice little career. It's probably not something you want to bank on, but hey, people bet on themselves. Right. You guys aren't surprised by Dane leaving, are you?
No, not at all. I imagined it was 60-40 him going to leave.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just sad.
He's really good. And when you see time and time again, a guy from your position group do what you are contemplating doing and then go be successful with it.
It's true.
I mean,
it's a really good,
like, hey, you got to the point. Why not just continue to follow the blueprint?
I was, Drake, I didn't even think about that. You make an incredible point there. Like, why would you not when you just, you know, Desmond didn't leave early, but why would you not when Desmond's still in the league from 6 years ago at Iowa and then Josh Jackson went and did it. And then Amani Hooker went and did it. And then Gino went and did it. And these guys are leaving early and they're carving out paths for them. That's not all. Greg Maben is hanging around. Is he in Tennessee?
Yep. He is in Nashville.
So he's hanging around. Micah Hyde is still somehow in the league. Like,
Mike, not somehow in the league. He's like playing at Pro Bowl level.
Unbelievable after 10 years. And so it just doesn't surprise me. I'm just sad because anybody who listens to this podcast religiously knows that Dane has been my guy since he started getting playing time freshman year on special teams. And I'm just sad. Now, what we got coming back now means we have Riley. Hankins is gone. Jack Kerner's gone. Dane Belton is gone. Okay. We have Riley Moss. We have Kayvon Merriweather. We have Jermari Harris. We have Terry Roberts. And we have Xavier Wampa. And then we also have, who kind of factors into the situation, Justin Jacobs, although I guess there's been rumors of him transferring out or something. I don't know about that. I don't know. I saw that there's been several rumors. I can't speak to any validity of that or how real those are. That would surprise me a lot, but I don't know. Nonetheless, Kev, what do you think happens here with who would you guess our secondary is? What do you think we do with Wampa? I think that's the big question. And you know, we talked about it in our text message, but can he step in and play right away? Does he have that ability? What's the hang up there?
That is an impossible thing to say right now when he's not spent one day in the Iowa football program. So that's something we're going to have to wait and see after spring ball, after camp. I'm sure he'll have his opportunities. But that is just projecting your hopes on a kid before he's even stepped foot in the facility yet, man.
Big, so that he's coming at break here, right, though?
Oh, 100%. That's going to give you a much easier time learning the playbook, as more so than anything.
Yeah.
You know, if you were a true freshman looking to start, and you really don't start learning until camp, which is a month before the first game, you know, and that, especially at safety, there's so much to learn and digest that it's just really unrealistic anyone's going to step in and start at safety if they just come in the summer or come at camp. It's not going to be easy to do it even from going a semester early and get going through spring ball. Now, that cast position, someone who played that position, requires a lot less thinking. Someone can step in there a little bit easier, I think, but still a lot going on, and high school and college football are just two different games.
Yeah.
So it'll be a race to maturity for him. I'm sure as soon as he's comfortable and feels comfortable putting him in the game that we'll see him out there on the field, but hard to say where the 2022 season ends up for Xavier right now.
But in Kevin's
mind,
we've
seen a lot of freshman DBs be really successful.
Yeah. And get time. And I think,
yeah. Not at safety though. Not really at safety.
Not at safety. So, okay. So here's the thing. We got to see, I don't remember what the reason was. I think it was because we were up big. I want to say it was the Maryland game, right? The Schulte kid, walk on, potential washed up walk-ons athlete, future athlete. Who knows? The Schulte kid came in and played behind Jack Kerner. Let's say he or some
Kerner was banged up a little bit here and there too.
Yeah,
where he went and played in for him.
So
for sure. I mean, I didn't notice anything bad from the kid.
Fits the profile.
He definitely be. I mean, he absolutely will be in the running for earning the job. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
We could be,
the most experienced guy at the position. So
yeah.
It's his job to lose right now, but he's got some dudes chasing after him.
Kevin, do you think in any way
would be such a bad feeling to be a walk-on that is like in spring ball going to be first string, but then in camp has one of Iowa's first five-star DBs coming in right behind you. Like, that's just such a bad feeling.
I don't know if it is, though, because I think I lean towards Kevin here, and I think – so here's where I'm going with this, and I've got a secondary question for Kevin that comes out of it, but, okay, Kayvon's going to play safety, obviously. Riley's going to play corner. Say Schulte steps in at Jack spot. Jermari or Terry is playing the other corner spot, and Xavier is able to step in at cash. That doesn't sound too bad to me if Xavier's able to do that position, right? This begs the question, Kevin, is there any chance that we would ever see Riley shift over to cash, or would we ever see Jermari or Terry go back to safety? Do you think any of that is in the potential picture at all?
Riley to cash, no, I don't see that happening. I think he's too athletic to be put in that position. We need him out on the corner where he's a really technically sound, really good corner.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's his home. That's where we need him to be.
And before Kevin continues his great discussion there, let's pop in real quick to just talk about Ultimate Fan. All right. First of all, download Ultimate Fan, the app, in the link in the description of this podcast, or find our socials, my social at Tyler Kluver or at Washed Up Walk-Ons. You can find the links there or just DM me. Join us on Ultimate Fan. Over $40,000 in gift cards up for grabs this season. Open packs, collect cards, build your roster, and compete. And my squad, which was pieced together this week, DeAndre Swift, I do have Devontae Adams, Deebo Samuel, slid in Sam Darnold at quarterback, Kenny Golladay, Evan Ingram. I'm at 54 points, top 1,000 on the app, and I think I'm set up nice and cheeky to earn a little coin or at least a new pack. So, been pretty fun. You guys have been hearing us talk about Ultimate Fan for a few weeks now. Download in the description below. Now back to the show.
I could see one of those other two guys moving to cash or
safety.
Probably safety. Yeah, it's possible. I mean, it's always easier to go from corner to safety than safety to corner.
Sure. Are they big enough?
You know, hey man, if there's anything you know about the Iowa football program, we don't struggle putting weight on dudes.
It's true.
Preach.
I mean, because here's the deal. Like, since Riley comes back, obviously we were thinking, oh, Riley and Hankins are gone. Cool. Jermari and Scary Terry step right in. But now this means that one of those guys who were kind of thought of as everyone this year as starters playing in the starters somewhere else, probably some school in the country, playing backups positions. One of them probably isn't going to be on the field. It's a great problem to have. I'm just trying to figure it out. I know this as a podcast that gets to talk about it. It's great content. I can't wait for spring when there's an open practice and we get to see who's taking what reps and, you know, get to hear the media and the Tuesday press conferences during spring ball about who's leading the races there, especially because Wampa will be in the mix by then. We'll get to hear how he's progressed. So I don't know, man. It's a great problem to have.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And I think Iowa moving towards that cash position has been really good for us. We were lucky in the previous years to have really athletic outside linebackers play that position. So you had like Kirksey, then you had Ben.
Kevin Ward.
You know, guys that you could for one game. gave 10 points of regulation that game. Anyway.
He's like, well, the one game that I played, we only gave up 10. So you can hold on to that in forever, Kevin.
There's an asterisk there in regulation.
You're right.
I wasn't in on the play to give him the touchdown. But, okay. But yeah,
I'm weak.
Yeah. We had some athletic linebackers out there, and those guys are hard to come by, and guys that can run with some receivers. So I think getting an athletic DB in that position who can play out in space really well, but also be able to set an edge has been really,
really good. And, you know, you saw Monty do that. He went from strong safety and he would go and play that position. And then Dane kind of followed suit. I think it's been really good for us, and it gets us more athletic guys on the field, and it'll create more opportunities for all these guys in the room that we got.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, if you have the guys to do it.
As a coach, you also want to play to, you know, your personnel strengths. So we could do it the way we used to do it because, you know, like we had Kirksey, we had Ben, NFL dudes. Now we got NFL dudes in the other room that, you know, we got to get these guys on the field.
Talking about some dudes now. Got a couple dudes. I think it's exciting, and I think you're right, Kev. I'm glad that Coach Parker's making the decisions and that he's got a hand in the pot, because if he's stirring the pot, I don't care what comes out. I'm eating it. January 17th, Kevin and Drake. Drake and I talked about this on the extra Patreon episode. Drake and I did 4 podcasts last week. Holy shit. We talked about this on the extra after we had that private conversation in the Benton chat. I don't know if it was Wednesday or Thursday. January 17th, that's next Monday. So a week from the day you're hearing this, if you're listening to it on release, is the declaration date. You have to declare for the NFL by that date. So Linderbaum, I think others in question were Jack Campbell. I think those are really, is that it? Am I forgetting anybody else on the Hawks that would potentially be a question here? I think that's it, right? Bueller? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's, Bonnie Potamon want to go be great in the NFL. I don't know.
Go be great. Mullet neck roll to the league. No, I think
Bonnie. I was racking my brain pretty hard and thinking of nobody.
Okay. So I think it's just Jack and Tyler. They got 8 days. If I were to lean one way, I would say we go 50-50 on that. But maybe that's just me being superstitious because of the things we've heard on the back end about Lindy. Kevin, what do you think about the argument that him being able to take out some insurance and make probably a fair amount on NIL, and obviously it's a big gamble, but he's going to sign a massive deal if he stays, and, you know, say worst case scenario, somehow there's a bunch of freaks in this next year's draft class and they pop above him or whatever, and he's 15th pick or 20th pick. He's still going to sign a massive deal. Does that make coming back a little bit easier? Like, hey, maybe I will go, even though he's a potential top 10 pick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back before is picking millions of dollars or nothing. Now it's millions of dollars and, you know, little cash in your pocket, a little walking around money.
I think the insurance is huge.
For sure. Yeah, but I mean, the insurance was a thing in beforehand too. You know,
I know. Nothing new. No, I know. And that's not new, but I just, when I think about that, I don't know, for someone, I don't know.
So, I mean, this is coming from someone who loved their time with Iowa football and would give anything to have another year to just suit up in the black and gold. It is absolutely the right decision for Linderbaum to declare for the NFL.
To get out.
He's graduated. He's done, gotten all the individual awards that you could possibly want. You know, he was a captain. Like, he ran the full race of Iowa football.
Yes, he did.
And he can go get his money right now.
The kid earned the right to go get his paycheck.
The only reason that he has to stay is that he fucking loves Iowa football and
he loves
those teammates, and he wants another year, and he wants a chance to win a Big Ten title. That's the only reason that he has to stay. His draft stock cannot go up.
Can't. He was going to be if he goes, he's got a great chance to be the first center.
Even if you go from like 15 to 5, okay? Yeah, you make a couple extra 100 grand in your signing bonus. You still
lose potential
in the NFL.
from 15 to 5, we looked it up. It's quite a steep climb.
It's big. But at that level, for Linderbaum, what is it? You know, like, what's another couple million, right? Like, fuck it.
Right. But financially, fiscally, there's no reason to stay.
I said on the post-game radio show of the Citrus Bowl with my buddy and co-host Doug on WMT, I said, if Linderbaum chooses to stay, I will call him a dumbass on the podcast. I said that. And I wasn't planning on having to actually do that. But from what I hear, man, and the way it kind of feels is like that might happen. It might. And I'm not getting my hopes up. I think that we probably have, I think they probably got.
Do you think you would regret making a decision based on that emotion?
The emotion that you feel after the game?
Yeah, and just like remembering that feeling.
Absolutely.
And having that way into your decision, and then you get down the road and you're like, shit, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think
emotions lie to you. Don't make decisions off of emotions.
You, Drake, you know me. I live my life by the code of taking emotion out of my decisions. I work and run on only logic, only what makes sense. And I'm an emotional person. So I've gotten very good at.
Is that what you told your wife? Is that what you told your wife when you proposed to her? This is a logical decision, honey. You can't do it because
I don't
make logical sense.
I don't love you. I do love you, but I'm not marrying you because I love you. It only makes sense. This just makes sense. No, that's not what I said. But like, yeah, Drake, I think I thought about that. I thought about. In fact, Drake, I thought about you because you called me a pussy for crying after our last game in Yankee Stadium in the locker room.
Yeah, I did.
And I didn't care at all. That's who I am. And I wasn't the only one crying. And for me to think back and to think if I actually had a large decision to make, boy, I would not have wanted to make it at that moment because I think the judgment would have been a little bit clouded, right? Which at this point, he hasn't made a decision. He hasn't come out with anything. He's taken time away. You know, we're working on 2 weeks. Well, I guess a week ago was the bowl game, a little over a week ago. So hopefully he's racking his brain, I feel like. And that's not an easy decision to make. And,
you know, as an Iowa football fan, I absolutely love to see him. You know, he's been a joy to watch these last few years.
Dude, he'll torch kids next year.
But, you know, obviously, like I said, I fully would respect the decision to leave. And even more so respect the decision to stay, because that is something that takes some balls to do.
If he stays, put the statue up. Put it up, because that's a decision that most people aren't even considering. People are chasing the coin. They're gone. They're getting bags. Gone. And rightfully so. And he's just going to come back for the love of the game and his teammates? Are you kidding me? Imagine Linderbaum comes back.
Not the game, man. You go play the game next year regardless.
No, the love of the college game. I mean, like the game that he knows with his team, right? That's what I meant. Not just the pure game of football. Imagine Linderbaum comes back, and then this summer you're like, you know, some young guy's slacking or he's not making his times, and he fucking says something to you. And you're just like, yes, dad, I'll do anything for you. I'll die. I'll put my life on the line for you, Tyler Linderbaum. Like, you'd do anything for that guy. Talk about a leader on the team. If Linderbaum comes back, they have their fucking warrior to take them into battle every single time. Oof. That would be
elite. Tell you what, man. If he does make that decision, I think for all the woes we had talking about the offensive line this last year, it could be a completely different story next year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With a couple of really talented young running backs, I think, you know, all the pieces would be there for us to repeat as West champs.
Might want to figure out quarterback, but that's another episode. So we'll
that's
get
not important. Not important.
Fuck the quarterback. In fact, put Monty at quarterback.
We're gonna run the ball 95% of the time.
Yeah, we're gonna turn into Army.
Wrap it up.
And Army had a
Army
had a good offense this year, man.
That's You're right. We'll talk about quarterback another time. We'll talk about plenty of stuff another time. There's plenty more episodes to come down the chute. I do want to give another quick shout out to ISM. Amir Smith-Marset finishing strong on the year. 100 yards, 3 catches, and a tutter.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Looking good. Looking good, my friend. Cool. Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. Episode 284. Holy shit, I said about said 248, and I don't even know if you know what episode it is. We've done so many of these. Closing in on 300. We're going to have to find a guest for that. And we're happy you come back and listen to us each and every time. Tell us what you think on Twitter. Give us your thoughts on the decisions of these three young fellows. Or if you're in the Patreon, patreon.com/washedupwalkons, you can tell us in the Discord. Jump in that Discord, baby. That's it. 284. Walk-ons out. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Peace.